That look about sums it up, doesn't it? Encapsulate the holidays pretty well. The energy, the scheduling, the stress, the action that is going on all around us, it doesn't always translate into us, does it? Well, this week, a couple of days ago, I threw out something on social media. I threw out a question to people and I said, tell me what words you associate with your experience during the holidays. Not what words describe the meaning, but your experience in the holidays. And I just want to share a sample. And if you like one of these words, you could give like a little whoop or just holler or something, okay? Or I'm just going to throw some of them out. Fights. Laughter. Busy. Peace. We got nothing there, huh? Oh, Lord, help us all. Sentimentality. Drunkenness. I'm watching. All right, I'll roll through them here. Presence, annoying music, joy, love, loss, family, chocolate mint cookies, and appropriately to end with weight gain. We're all there, right? I'm a huge fan of this season. I love the traditions and the spirit behind this season, but I've also become acquainted with some of the other side, right? The stress that can come alongside these things as well, or for some, the loneliness that can step right alongside some of these other words as well. And so some of us find ourselves in this place of when we come into the holidays, it puts us into a holidays, right? And so let me get a raise of hands. Like, how many of us, as we approach this season, you anticipate stress. Let me see those hands. You anticipate stress during this holiday. Okay, keep those hands up. Now look around. If you have a family member raising your hand, you're probably the source of that stress, okay? Let's just get honest. Let's get real here today. That's okay. We'll spend the next 3 weeks. I just created some rifts in relationship, didn't I? We're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about how to thrive during the holidays. And this morning, we want to look at a story that has all kinds of mess in it. Okay, and we're going to see if we can learn from this story. And it's found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And here's what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So a good start, right? We got a birth announcement, and then we've got an engagement story. Everyone likes this. If you're on Facebook, you probably click like. You might comment on this, like, this is great. Oh my goodness, look at this. And then we continue on. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. I knew it was a little quick for that engagement, wasn't it? I knew there was something going on. Okay, all right. And then it goes on. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now it's just getting weird, isn't it? Okay, you go on and unlike and to delete your comment from that Facebook post. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So we got a mess right here. And whatever word you cheered for a moment ago describing your stress during the holidays, I wonder if you're feeling a little bit better about yourself now that you've heard his story, right? Joseph has a soap opera going on in the scripture. Now, he originally had a good plan. And his plan was with Mary, they were betrothed, they're going to be married. And then they come together and they have kids. And these kids grow up and they take dad's family business. And it's this good plan. And then the Holy Spirit shows up. Now, Jewish marriage procedure consisted of two steps. The first step was you come together and they were betrothed. They were engaged. They exchanged the vows right there. It was a legal marriage. And then the second step is marriage before God. So that's when they would consummate the marriage. That's when they would come together and they would start living together. So the scriptures say that they were betrothed to be married, but they had not yet come together. So we find them in between these two stages. And that's when Mary finds out that she's pregnant. So Joseph knows two things right here. He knows, one, that his wife is pregnant, and two, that he's not the baby daddy. So that's where we find Joseph in the story right here. Now, his plan was a good plan, right? He had a good plan, but then it got all messed up. So what did Joseph do when his good plan got all messed up? He came up with another good plan, right? But to come out of the other good plan, which maybe wasn't so good, but it was good. No, that was a good human plan. So what does he do? He comes out and he says, well, I will quietly divorce her, and I'm going to walk away from this mess. And that's our tendency, right, in the holidays. Like when stuff starts rising up and starts getting messy and chaotic, what do? Not even a negative thing. I don't even say it in a negative way. But we decide to divorce or to separate from the situation because we don't want to blow up. We don't want to lose control. We want to maintain stability. We want to find peace in the madness. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So let's just play Joseph for a minute, can we? Let's get in Joseph's head right here. And so we walk in, and we're Joseph after this angel speaks to us. So let me get this straight. What you want from me is you want me to marry this girl who is impregnated with somebody else's baby, right? Okay, I got that. You want me to raise the child that is not my own child. And you want me to put myself in the place of embarrassment and ridicule before other people because of all this stuff that that's what we're going for. Oh, yeah, and I can't make love to my wife prior to Jesus being born, the baby being born. That's what you're asking me to do. Like, this is ridiculous. Are you kidding me? I mean, like he lit, you know, this is small town. Like, you've heard, oh, little town of Bethlehem, right? It's little. It's small. Everybody knows your business. And he doesn't even, like, he can't even be with his wife prior to, like, that's what guys get excited about. When they're thinking about making babies, like, they like the making part. They named it baby making. That's what they call the whole thing. This is, I'm just getting in his head, right? Okay, I'm tuning in. This is Joseph. This is not Joel right now. This is Joseph talking. Okay, don't hold it against me. That's Joseph. Okay. I can't believe you said that. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. What the angel is asking Joseph to do, but somehow, Joseph is able to embrace the purposes of God in this calling. He understands this idea that his interruption is God's intervention, that his plans would not have accomplished God's purposes. When I talk to my friends, who are trying to prepare for the challenges of the holidays, they'll often say something like this: well, this year I'm going to, and then they'll give like some sort of plan that they've devised to combat the craziness, right? Well, this year I'm going to try, and then they'll give this little plan. And it almost like we can plan out the craziness, right? Like if we plan it enough, then we won't step into that holidays. And for some of us, that days comes from just being with family, right? And we get with family, and you know, if you can schedule your holidays without a family member getting offended, you need to have your own consulting business. You would make a lot of money. There are hundreds of people here today who would pay you a lot of money if you could pull off that miracle. It's just scheduling. Maybe you step back into a hurt that has never been healed in your family. And it brings up those old feelings. Maybe you step into an old role or habit that you have developed out of, but then you get with family and you step back into that role. But I love the way Heidi Scanlon says it. She says, you know, your family doesn't just push your buttons. They installed your buttons. So they know where to kneel, where to get you. Maybe the days comes from all the change that happens in the holidays. Like, somebody who used to be there now is not there. And that throws you off. It puts you in a daze. Or somebody that has never been there is now there. a baby or an in-law or somebody else, and they throw off your day. Maybe your day comes because you compare yourself to others or to other situations. I don't have that, or I do have this. Or why do they get that? Or favoritism is over there, and you compare, and it puts you in a daze. But whatever your situation, all of us do this. We come in with a plan to attack that daze. Joseph did the same thing. He keeps making plans, and good plans. But every time he makes plans, his plans get interrupted. I guarantee something for you this holiday. Your plans will get interrupted this holiday. It comes with the territory. No matter how much you map it out, plan it out, work it out, talk it out, your plans will get interrupted. The question is this: are you choosing your plans, or are you embracing God's purposes? Somehow in the middle of all this crazy, Joseph, he's able to step outside of the crazy and embrace what God wants to do in this time, in this season, in the holiday that he is in. And so I want to just pull out a couple, I want to highlight a couple observations out of our passage today that I pray that we can learn from today. The first is this: your interruption might be God's plan. Your interruption, what interrupts you or your plan, it might be God's plan. Hearing Mary was pregnant with someone else's child had to be devastating and incredibly frustrating and saddening to Joseph. Interruption was an understatement. The fact is, Joseph's interruption was God's plan. The angel comes and he says, "This is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit conceived this." Jesus was Joseph's interruption. Jesus was Joseph's problem. But Joseph's problem was God's solution. What we see as problem, the very thing that brings stress to this holiday, might be the exact thing that was given to bring healing. You hear that today? The very thing that brings stress to your holiday this season might be the exact thing that God has brought to bring healing. About a little over a week ago, I was in the store, and I'm approaching the line, right, to pay for the items. And when I locked eyes with another customer, and when we did, the customer started speeding up towards the line. So, but I'm ahead, like I'm obviously going to get to, and so I do what only I know to do in that moment. I sped up as well. I went into a fast walk / slow jog / sprint to the, and I get to the line first. Okay, I mean, it's just, that's my natural reaction in that moment. Like, you could be 9 months pregnant on your way to the hospital, the baby's halfway out, and if you lock eyes with me and speed up, I'm like, something happens in me. I just run. Like, that's that's what I feel right there. And so just naturally, and I go, and then I'm in line, and I'm kind of annoyed, right? Like, I mean, I was obviously going to be ahead of you, and now I feel kind of guilty, and like, what's the deal here? Like, you know, just calm down. That's what I'm thinking inside. And so, you know, okay, that's internal. And I won. Well, what's your problem, Joel? And so I'm thinking this, and then, you know, it kind of clicked there in the moment, like, all right, like, maybe I need to try to embrace God's purpose here. So I just turn and I say, man, it's one of those crazy days, isn't it? And kind of get the, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you seem like you were in a hurry. Like, do you want to step in front of me? And it's like her face went from Tom Coughlin to Jay Gruden in one moment. Huh? Come on, where's my Redskins fans? You know, from anger and frustration to joyful child exuberance. You know, in one moment, and she, thank you so much. You know what? She says, I just needed that today, and she's like, I'm just behind, and thank you for making my day. That's what she says, and I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't even know you were in a hurry. Why didn't you speed up? You could have sped up. I mean, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, right, but you know, and guys, I'm sharing a good story. I've got 100 stories where I, you know, was on the opposite side of that, right? And I probably instigated something. So I'm not, I share the story because I'm preaching it myself today. Are we embracing the purposes of God in those moments? Are we listening to his voice? Do you know that I really believe this? I was right to be in that front position in line. I was there. I was ahead. I was in the right position. Do you know that Joseph was right to divorce Mary? Do you know that? He was right to do that. Even according to the law, he could have or should have done worse than divorce her. He was in the right. But to be right is not necessarily to be obedient. When that moment comes for you in the holidays, and listen, you are right. And you can tell me why you're right. And you can justify it. Is it about if we're right, though? Are you being obedient? Are you obedient to the voice of God? My prayer over the sermon is this today. When you hit that moment of craziness this week, and when things are rising up or boiling up within you, and that person says that something or they do that something, and something comes out and you're ready to respond, I pray that if anything else in this sermon sticks in you, that in that moment, this one phrase, idea, will stick in your mind and your heart. Embrace God's purposes right now. I want to embrace God, your purpose in this moment, etched in my brain from childhood, was a neighbor child who committed suicide. And I didn't know, his name was Tristan. I didn't really know, I wasn't good friends with him. He was older than me, so, you know, I didn't have a great friendship with him, but I can still access that emotional place in my mind or heart or spirit. I can still access that of feeling a sense of, if I only would have stepped out, right? Like if I would have found moments to overcome the interruptions, or if I would have stepped out of my plans or my friends to just step aside and embrace God's purposes, what could have happened in his spirit if I could have just done that? Are we following our plans? Are we annoyed by our interruptions, or are we embracing the purposes of God? Number two, stop complaining about who your family is and start declaring who God is. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph's wife was not bearing his child. Joseph was not having sex with his wife. Joseph was going to raise a child that was not his own. He had plenty to be upset about at his family. He had plenty to complain about his family. But he didn't do that, did he? No, he didn't complain. He declared who God was. Literally, he declared who God was. He named his son Jesus, a declaration of who God was. Joseph adopted the son who has adopted so many of us here in this house today. He, in a sense, is the father of many of us in this house today. In this culture, for Joseph to name his son, what that meant was if a man named a son, he was adopting him. That's what that meant. Okay, so he adopts Jesus, and he doesn't just speak his name. He doesn't just name him. He declares who he is. He declares who he was. He declares who he will be. He declares the purposes of God in his life. He declares the purposes of God in the lives who will be affected and touched by his son's life. There was the fact of Jesus, who Jesus was. And there was the declaration of who he was. You know, the fact of who Jesus is not lost on our declaration. You know what I'm saying? Who he is who he is. But when we declare who he is, it changes us. It changes our plans. It changes our path. It changes our purposes. Will you be focused on the failures of your family? Will you be focused on the mistakes of your family? Will you be focused on the wrongs of your family? Or will you declare who God is within your family? Will you call out the purposes of the Lord and your family? Can you imagine when Joseph went to the local coffee shop and people are talking behind his back? Can you imagine when he's in his workplace and other stonemasons are talking behind Joseph's back? He could have got annoyed. He could have got frustrated. He could have got defensive at what was said, but he did not. He just declared who God was into his family. There are moments that will come and you will be frustrated, right? And our natural reaction is to become defensive in those moments. But don't do that. Don't be ruled by your plans. You created those plans and then you allow them to rule you. Be ruled by God's purposes. Allow him to lead you in those moments and decide something. Decide, I'm just going to find a sense of humor and I'm just going to laugh at myself. What if we just did that? I'm going to find it, and I'm going to laugh at myself. And then I'm going to pump encouragement into this person. God has set me here. He has given me a purpose. Be devoted to his purpose. His purpose is our mission. Do you react or do you respond? To react is self-focused. To respond is other-focused. To react is defensive. To respond is to get a vision from God and then call that, to declare that into existence. Joseph, he got a vision from God. He declared God's purpose into the very person that was the source of his problem, the person that drives you nuts. Do you see them as the enemy sees them, or do you see them as God sees them? Maybe God has positioned you in their life as the person to call out, has positioned you in the source of the pain for you to call out God's purposes. You say, man, I don't have anything to call out in them. Romans 4:17, called into existence what did not exist before. Say, I see nothing. Stop looking with your eyes. Look with his eyes to see what did not exist and then call that into existence. I was captivated by a story I heard a number of years ago by a friend, Randy Hurst. He would talk about his grandpa. And his grandpa believed so much in Psalm chapter 22, where it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He believes so much in that scripture that, and he's this dirt poor missionary, barely any money to his name, but he would just call out the praises. So he wouldn't have any money left, and he would pull out his wallet, and he would begin to praise God into his wallet. God, I praise you into this. Well, you have put me here. You have set me here. I praise you. Right now, may your provision come. And he would praise God into his wallet, and God would show up. He would, whatever was empty or dry, he would just praise God into that situation. His grandma talked at one point about during the Great Depression, and she heard grandpa down in the basement praising God into the potatoes. He's calling, God, I believe, and you are good, and you are Lord over these potatoes. And at the same time, somebody shows up at the front door with 200 pounds of potatoes. Something happens when we decide, I'm not just going to complain about who my family is not. I am going to declare who God is within my family. Number three, God promises presence, not separation. Joseph's first inclination was to delete the problem. Verse 19 says this. It says, Joseph was to quietly divorce Mary. Divorce, by definition, is separation. It's to separate. It's to separate yourself from the situation that you're in or from your problem. That's what we often pray. God, deliver me. God, separate me from my stress. But oftentimes, God does not deliver us from the chaos, but instead, he brings his presence into the chaos. There are challenges that are given by God to grow us. But there are also challenges that come from a fallen world, aren't there? We live in this fallen world and we've been given free will or free choice. Therefore, we are able to choose right or wrong. And then we deal with the consequence of our own decisions and of other people's decisions as well. So we live in this world that is full of challenges because of free will and free choice within it. So when somebody passes away, I don't think that's God trying to accomplish his purpose in us. No, I think it's a part of, it's a result of life and death and the world that we live in. But in those moments, God still can bring about purpose within us. When that hurt happens in our life, not every hurt happens by his design, but some of those hurts happen, but he can still redeem us and bring his purposes in those moments. In fact, the scriptures, they set us up for the world that we live in, don't they? They talk about the hardship that will come through this life and the suffering that will happen and the hurts that will happen. But in all of these things, we see that God doesn't promise us security, but he promises what? He promises us presence. He doesn't try to separate us from the hardship, but he says, no, I will come into the hardship with you. I will stand with you. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Jesus' two names give us his two primary purposes. Jesus means Savior. Emmanuel means God with us. And so we see Jesus comes to save us from our sin, and then he comes to just reside with us, to be with us in the good and the bad and the tough and the hard and the ugly. Notice the situation that Jesus came into. He didn't come into the calm. He didn't come into the comfortable, right? He didn't come into the easy, the normal. He came into the mess. He came into the chaos, the disorder, the hardships. He was around stink when he showed up. He was in with other animals. And there's hay as there's stink, and it's uncomfortable. You think your mess, you think your loudness, you think your imperfections precludes God from showing up in your life? No, it's the opposite. Your mess is attractive to Jesus because he looks at your mess and he says, that's what I chose to come into the world. Say, I got too much mess for Jesus to come into my life. No, it's the opposite. He looks, your mess is the birthplace of the Savior. Isn't that awesome? He sees what you're in and what you are in the middle of. And he says, that's exactly what I chose to come into. And that exactly is where I chose to conceive my spirit. And that's exactly where I choose to raise up my purpose. And I have chosen you to accomplish that. So embrace his purpose. I want to invite the worship team to come. And we're going to sing in just a moment. But recently, an NCCer, I just shared a testimony. And in the midst of hardship, this is what they shared. They said, you would think that going through the hell I was going through, that I would rather opt to step down from serving in my leadership role as a volunteer in ministry. In the back of my mind, I kept thinking, things are going to get unbearable. I'll need to step down. But as more and more time passed, I knew that I needed the opposite. I needed to serve. I needed to get out of my self-pity state. I needed to feel God's love and touch through my friends. I needed to show my kids that no matter what, the enemy will not steal my joy of serving or my joy of being in community. You can allow yourself to be sucked into the pity party of the failed plans of men, or you can stand up to the enemy's determination and resolve that you are not controlled by your circumstances. You are not held captive by your hurts. You are not dismayed by the mess that is around you, but you are committed to the purposes of the God who is within you. There's a unique phrase in the New Testament that we find that comes after hardship, and the phrase is this: so that God might be glorified. It comes after sickness. It comes after work. It comes after suffering. It comes after hardship. So, when sarcasm hits this holiday, embrace God's purposes so that God might be glorified. When argument comes this holiday, embrace God's purposes so that God might be glorified. When stress comes this holiday, embrace God's purposes so that God might be glorified. When that person says that something, When that person does that something that throws you off every time, instead, embrace the purposes of God. So that what? So that God might be glorified. Can I get an amen today? Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me? And we're just going to worship into his presence right now. I just want to ask you, in these moments of responsive worship, can you do exactly what we just talked about? The big idea is a simple phrase today, and that's this: embrace God's purposes. How do we start? Let's start by declaring who God is today. Can we do that? If you need to pull out your wallet and declare God's purposes into that wallet, you do it. If you need to pull out your planner, your phone, and pull open the calendar, the schedule, if you need to write down a name and just start declaring God's purposes over that person who's going to get you, if you need to declare his purposes into your spirit, right now as we sing this song, that's what we're doing. We're embracing God's purposes. We're declaring who he is, okay? It's about him. This season is not about us. It's about him and him within us. Let's give him what we got right now. Let's praise the Lord.